What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, man, oh man, the NBA playoffs keep on rolling on, and Boston has officially taken control of their series. So let's go ahead and get started with that series, Boston versus Indiana. Game one, Indiana should have had this game. I bet they are kicking themselves in the ass right now because this was all Indiana. I mean, it was a close game for the majority of the way, but Indiana had pretty much controlled the pace of the game. It was all about them pretty much the whole way through. Then all of a sudden, we're in the fourth quarter, and I'm talking the last, like, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, maybe even less than that. All of a sudden, you could just tell Indiana gets into their own fucking head, and they just have this really stupid sequence of events where, you know, they're able to get a turnover off of Boston, and they've got, a 5-point lead at this point. They're able to get the turnover off of the inbounds, and then so that they inbound the ball, and stupidly, Halliburton loses the ball. And from there, it just crumbled. And the Boston Celtics were down three. So they were able to get the ball back from Halliburton, able to score some points. And then they were down three. And then Indiana blew it again on their next possession. Boston gets the ball back. And in a desperation three shot, Jaylen Brown ties it up and sends it to overtime. And once it goes to overtime, I knew Indiana was done from there. Just because you could tell that just took the wind out of their sails. I mean, Boston was about to lose this shit, and Indiana just gave it right back to them. And Boston walked away with the win in overtime, 133 to 128. Jason Tatum had 36 points and 12 rebounds. And then, as I mentioned, Jaylen Brown not only hit the game-tying field goal to send it into overtime, but he also dropped a total of 26 points. So it was a close one, and Indiana should have had game one. And then heading into game two, I did not have a good feeling about Indiana, just because when you lose a game like that in a series like this, it pretty much turns everything. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it just takes the wind out of your sails, takes the confidence away from you. But Indiana got dominated last night in game two. Boston smashed their asses, 126 to 110. Jaylen Brown had a career playoff night. He dropped 40 points. And then, of course, in an unfortunate turn of events, Halliburton got hurt. It looks like he injured his hamstring, and he's questionable for game three. So if we didn't think Indiana had the wind taken out of their sails in game one, they definitely did in game two. Now we're headed back to Indiana for game three on Saturday night. Boston is up 2-0, and, you know, Indiana's definitely going to need Halliburton, but he's going to be hobbled whether he plays or not. So, but I just feel like once Indiana lost game one the way they did, I thought they were done for. I picked Boston to win this series, of course, because I think they are the overall better team. But you can tell in these two games, Boston is not that dominant. If they were just playing a team that could take advantage of their shortcomings, Boston wouldn't even be here in the Eastern Conference Finals. But here they are, and they are here. But, you know, Indiana just gave them game one. And after that, I was like, ugh, I don't even know if Indiana has a game in them in this one. And with no Halliburton, it's definitely going to be a tough hill to climb against Boston in this one. But they are up 2-0. Like I said, game three is on Saturday night in Indiana. Turning to the Western Conference Finals, game one was a doozy between the Dallas Mavericks and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Holy shit, this went down to the wire, but Luka the Don came to life, had an amazing game, 33 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds. Kyrie Irving, hello, I've been asking for the X Factor to show up, motherfucker showed up, dropped 30 motherfucking points. Dallas got the win in Minnesota, 108 to 105. Seriously, y'all, this Western Conference Finals is going to be something else. And the Mavericks really tamped down the Timberwolves, man. Anthony Edwards, not a great game from him. Karl Anthony Towns was kind of falling back just a bit. Like, this Minnesota Timberwolves team, Dallas was in their head down the stretch, and Dallas got the huge, huge win over the Minnesota Timberwolves, and we'll see what happens the rest of this series, but that was an excellent game one. Game two was tonight, Friday night, in Minnesota. Maybe Minnesota can tie this shit up, but right now, Dallas is up 1-0, and no lie, I've been wanting to see Luka in the playoffs. Basically, since the day Luka hit the league, I've been wanting to see what he can do in the postseason, and we just really haven't got that because he's just been on shit teams. It's been Luka and nobody else around him. But finally, this year, it's not just Kyrie, but Kyrie's been a huge help to him. But it's also just a lot of the other dudes are starting to step it up. And then defensively, Dallas got better as the season wore on, especially the second half of the season. They were one of the top defensive teams in the league. And that's what they really did against Anthony Edwards, especially in this game. So it's going to be a very interesting series. And I'm just happy to see Luka thrive in the playoffs because I expected him to. And right now, like game one of the Western Conference Finals, this dude just balled hard. And so it's going to be exciting to see what we've got the rest of the way. But, you know, I don't expect the Timberwolves to roll over. I expected this series to go seven. And so I would not be shocked to see Timberwolves take game two. Moving on to baseball. It's been a pretty exciting week for one team for sure. On Monday, the Boston Red Sox got a big win over the Tampa Bay Rays, 5-0, but that wasn't really what we're talking about. Rafael Devers, he actually now owns a Boston Red Sox team record, which says a lot because the Red Sox are one of the most legendary teams ever. They've had many legendary players for them. But for the first time ever, Rafael Devers has hit 6 home runs in 6 consecutive games. So that is now a Boston Red Sox record. And real talk, Devers has been a very, very consistent player for the Red Sox since the day he hit the field for them. He has been one of the most solid, consistent players they've had, no matter how bad they were. Like last year, they were terrible. Devers was able to step it up until he got injured, of course. But Devers, 6 straight home runs in 6 straight games, a Boston Red Sox record. Then on Tuesday, the Philadelphia Phillies got a big win over the Texas Rangers, 5-2. Ranger Suarez won his 9th game in a row. Dude has 0 losses on the season with a 1.36 ERA. He pitched 7 innings in this one with 10 strikeouts. He is the first pitcher since 1966 to start 9-0. Like, how fucking crazy is that? Since 1966. So just yet another guy having a phenomenal season, just like Devers is. And Ranger Suarez, man, who would have thought we would be talking about him the way we are? I mean, with that stacked-ass Philadelphia Phillies starting pitching lineup, I did not think Ranger Suarez was going to be the leader of the pack at this point in time. Then on Wednesday, as I said, if you were worried about the Yankees this season, they are showing you we need not worry about them. They smashed the Seattle Mariners 7-3. And Juan Soto, he had 2 home runs. Aaron Judge, you know, the guy y'all were worried about the first month of the season. Well, he had yet another home run. He leads the team in home runs, by the way. He's actually, I think he leads the league now. I'll have to recheck that, but he's definitely in the top of the league for sure if he ain't leading the league. And then Verdugo also had a home run as well. So not only is Judge getting hot, Soto's been hot. Verdugo, he's been pretty hot these last couple of weeks as well. This New York Yankees starting pitching has been phenomenal to start the season. It was the offense where we had questions, and now all of a sudden there aren't really a whole lot of questions with this New York Yankees offense. And I'm looking at them like, damn, it's only May and y'all are this hot. It's going to be pretty interesting to see where the Yankees go the rest of this season, especially because they still, I reiterate, do not have Gerrit Cole in their starting pitching lineup yet. And they have one of the top starting pitching lineups in the league without their ace. So that says a lot about this Yankees team. And then on Thursday night, or actually Thursday, there was a day game, the Philadelphia Phillies beat the Texas Rangers yet again, 5-2. The reason why this mattered is because it was their seventh sweep of the season. We are only on May 24th, y'all. And the Phillies have swept seven series that they've played so far this season. They are currently on a six-game winning streak. And this is the first time in their history in 35 games that they've gone 29-6. So this Philadelphia Phillies team, talk about a team that's on fire. This team is just nothing to fuck with. I don't know what who thinks they're going to beat this Phillies team. I mean, other than injuries, that's about the only thing that is going to slow this Phillies team down. But they are looking solid as fuck to start the season. All right, and let's get into the top five list this week. Since we are currently watching the NBA Conference Finals, I decided to do a list that involves that topic. We're going to do the top five greatest conference finals performances ever. And basically what that means is it's just a player, not a team, not even a series. This is a game in an NBA Conference Finals matchup where they just dominated. Now, one thing they had to do in this list is they had to win that game. They didn't have to win the entire series. They didn't even have to go on to win the NBA Finals. It's just, what kind of a game did they have in one of the seven, or five in certain cases, because, you know, they used to only have five games in a series, but one game in the entire series where this player just dominated and took it to a whole other level. So far, we haven't really had anybody do that this season. I guess you could say Jaylen Brown, maybe, because he had that huge overtime shot, and yeah, he showed up huge in game two as well with the 40 points. And then Luka, he also had an amazing game, but like these five performances that I'm about to talk about, they were game changers. So let's go ahead and start it off with number five. This one actually I remember because it's only a couple years ago, by the way, but it was an amazing performance. And that is Jimmy Butler, the 2022 Eastern Conference Finals Game 6. He played for the Miami Heat and they were at the Boston Celtics. And in this series, since it's game six, you know, obviously Miami needed this one. They were down in the series 3-2. So they had to take this one. And this was in Boston. And it's hard to win in Boston. Well, guess what? Jimmy Butler gave zero fucks this night. He absolutely took over this game, dropped 47 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds, and had 4 steals on the night. And just really, absolutely, he basically took down Boston all on his own. It was one of the most crazy sequences of events to ever happen. Basically, they won this game, took it to a game 7, and they went back to Miami for game 7, and they would ultimately end up taking down the Boston Celtics and ultimately going to the NBA Finals. And losing in the NBA Finals, I believe to the Warriors. Was it to the Warriors? I'm pretty sure it was the Warriors. I can't recall. It was a couple years ago, but I'm pretty sure it was the Warriors who they lost to. Regardless, it was one of the most amazing. Not only was just that Game 6 performance amazing from Jimmy Butler, but overall that playoff run for Miami, Jimmy Butler was on some and was just insane. He was just on a tear during that playoff run. Then at number four on my top five greatest conference finals performances ever, Terry Porter in the 1992 Western Conference Finals Game 2. He played for the Portland Trail Blazers. They were playing the Utah Jazz. And this is one of the most efficient nights of shooting ever. And, you know, Terry Porter, he was an excellent player, but he just always got overshadowed by all the players who played at this time. You know, you got the Michael Jordans, you got the Hakeem Olajuwons, you got the Patrick Ewings, you got all these dudes who you usually talk about, but Terry Porter Jr. shined above the rest in this Western Conference Game 2. He went 12 for 14, and four of those were three-pointers. He went 13 for 14 at the free throw line. He ended up with a total of 41 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds. And this is still, to this day, the fewest shot attempts ever for a player to reach 40 points. So this still stands. This happened in 1992, and that says a lot. That's why I put it in here. even above Jimmy Butler. And they did get this, they did win this game, but they did not win the series. Then at number three on my top five greatest conference finals performances ever, Dirk Nowitzki in the 2011 Western Conference Finals Game 1. Dallas Mavericks versus Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, he did play with the Dallas Mavericks in this one, of course, because who else did Dirk play for? But in this dominating performance, he dropped 48 points. He went 12 for 15 from the field, 24 for 24 at the free throw line. And not only did they win the Western Conference Finals against a really good ass, this was the Oklahoma City Thunder team that had Kevin Durant, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, all in like the prime of their careers. This Oklahoma City Thunder team just dominated, but Dirk Nowitzki was like, nah, I'm going to dominate. And even in this game, Kevin Durant dropped 40 points as well, but Dirk Nowitzki was like, no, dude, I'm Dirk. And this was the season actually where the Dallas Mavericks would go on to win the NBA Finals as well, but Dirk Nowitzki, he actually has a couple conference finals, legendary conference finals performance, but I feel like this one was the better of the two because, I mean, the efficiency. The other one, it was against the Phoenix Suns, I think a couple years before, and he had an extremely efficient night, and he dropped 50 points. This one, though, it was so... Dirk was just on it. I remember this game. It was like he could not miss. And then he just kept getting to the free throw line, and you're like, Jesus Christ, this guy's going to outscore everybody. He did, and the Dallas Mavericks would go on to win this game, win this series, and win the title. Then number two on my top five greatest conference finals performances ever, Michael Jordan, the 1989 Eastern Conference Finals Game 3, when he was with the Chicago Bulls versus the Detroit Pistons. And this Pistons team dominated Michael Jordan. They dominated the league, especially defensively. And but what stood out about this game in particular is it's probably where we're introduced to the dominance that would become Michael Jordan. Because obviously the Bulls would not go on to win the finals that year. As a matter of fact, they wouldn't even win this series, but they did win game three. They trailed by 14 points at one point in this game, and basically Michael Jordan single-handedly brought them back 14 points down, and they would ultimately win the game 99-97. Jordan's stat line would end up being 46 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals, and he went 10 for 17 in the fourth quarter in a 3-minute stretch, including the game winner. So this was like just the introduction. Not only was it just an amazing, dominating performance from one player just single-handedly turning this game around and making it his own, but it was basically the turning point of the league where, yes, Michael Jordan would lose that series, but that would be the last time we would see that shit. Then the Bulls would take over and basically dominate the rest of the 90s. And basically Michael Jordan would go on to dominate the league for the next 6, 7, 8 years. And but this right here was the welcome to the NBA experience of Michael Jordan for everybody, where he would just take over and he was just had that killer instinct where he'd just be like, no, I'm Michael Jordan. I'm going to win this shit. And that's exactly what he did in this game three performance. And even though the Bulls did lose this series, like I said, sometimes you need that to become the best. And I feel like a game like that was what really just set Jordan apart and really just gave him a boost of confidence to let him know that, yeah, I am really as good as I think I am. Now it's time to show the rest of the world and make them believers. And he did. Now, there is only one performance above that, and it was really difficult to put anybody above Michael Jordan in that one, especially because he single-handedly won that game. Single-handedly. But there is one performance in the conference finals that I feel like is just the greatest ever. And that is number one on my top five greatest conference finals performances ever. Charles Barkley in the 1993 Western Conference Finals Game 5 when he was with the Phoenix Suns versus the Seattle Supersonics. Yes, that's how long ago this was, when the Seattle Supersonics were a team and they were not the Oklahoma City Thunder. Charles Barkley had one of the most single-handed, dominating performances ever. His stat line, 43 points, 15 rebounds, and 10 assists. Yes, that is a triple-double, y'all. And he did that all in 47 minutes and did not sit for more than 1 minute in this game. He played the entire fucking game. He went 16 for 22 from the field and 11 for 11 at the free throw line. This was one of the most dominating individual performances you have ever seen in playoff history, let alone conference finals history. Unfortunately for Charles, his Phoenix Suns team would go on to the NBA Finals and lose to Michael Jordan in the NBA Finals. But Charles Barkley, this... if there is one game you can point to in his career where it was just flawless, it was stellar, it was amazing, it would be this 1993 Western Conference Finals Game 5. He was better than every motherfucker on the court. He could not be stopped. As a matter of fact, if you put him 5-on-1 on the court, him by himself versus the 5 Seattle Supersonic starters, he still would have been as amazing as he was that night. That is how on Charles Barkley was in the 1993 Western Conference Finals, Game 5. So that is my top 5 list for the week. So enjoy this amazing weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.